Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 2nd. Governor John Hickenlooper doubled down last Friday on why he thinks a special legislative session is needed. Some tax revenues, he says, are not going to places like the Denver Zoo and museums because of a mistake in a bill he signed earlier this year. Republican leaders say the problem isn't urgent and the special session scheduled to begin today is unnecessary. Bensa Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The problem is in an expansive bipartisan bill to fund rural hospitals. The measure inadvertently prevented 8 special districts from collecting sales taxes on retail marijuana. Voters had already approved that idea as a way to fund everything from museums to transit. Hickenlooper called the special session, but Republicans say they weren't adequately looped in.
Hey, I accept that. Miscommunications happen. That's not a reason to say we're not going to do this. Special districts in no way caused this, and they're being penalized. No one can explain to me why they have to be penalized.
Republicans want to wait until lawmakers come back to the Capitol in January to fix the problem, which most special districts say they're okay with. But those special districts have agreed to pay the $75,000 cost of a 3-day special session. Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham said in a statement that it sent a very bad precedent about the fairness of the legislative process and was, quote, one of the worst ideas I've heard from this governor. I'm Bente Berkland at the state capitol.
And in a follow-up, according to a press release from the Colorado Senate Republicans, last Friday, Colorado Senate President Kevin J. Grantham issued the following statement in response to Governor John Hickenlooper's proposal to let special taxing districts fund the emergency legislative session scheduled for today, despite those districts having a direct financial stake in the outcome of those deliberations. Grantham responded as follows, quote, having interested parties pay the cost of a special session has to be one of the worst ideas I've ever heard from this governor. Coming in close second to his baffling and botched decision to hold an unnecessary special session without doing the pre-planning and consultations required to improve our chance of success. This idea would set a terrible precedent and has potential to create huge public misperceptions about the fairness and integrity of the process. We sometimes hear the criticism that politicians are bought and paid for, but what the governor's proposing here would make that literally true. What's next? Will he try lining up sponsorships for the regular session as well? His complete mishandling of this situation from beginning to end doesn't bode well for next week. End quote. More affordable housing is in the works in the western Colorado town of Basalt, including units that would go to teachers. The Aspen Times reported that officials backed moving ahead with 2 developments late last Tuesday night. One is a joint effort by Habitat for Humanity, the Roaring Fork School District, and Pitkin County. They plan to build 27 units on school land and sell 15 of them to teachers. The rest would be sold to qualified employees of Pitkin County. The second would have as many as 25 deed restricted units and 88 homes that would be sold at market prices. The market prices homes will be small, so the developer hopes some will be relatively affordable, selling for about $500,000. In a related story, residents of Westminster are asking the city to consider creating an affordable housing trust to help struggling families stay in their homes. They held a meeting on Saturday. Eric Gladys had the story.
We Organize Westminster, or WOW, has a public assembly tomorrow to address what the group is calling a housing and renters' rights crisis in the Denver suburb. In the 5 years Inez Marquez has lived in the Copperwood apartments, she says the rent for the one-bedroom unit she shares with her children has doubled, and the bill often includes other unexplained charges. She hopes the city will adopt an affordable housing platform developed by residents, which includes a renter's bill of rights.
Because we are working on policies here in Westminster to better our community. We all need to get together and work something out.
The group wants the city to require landlords to present itemized receipts, provide translated leases, and connect tenants to free legal advice through volunteers at local bar associations. Councilwoman Emma Pinter has said she supports parts of the WOW platform and is set to speak at the assembly. Westminster Mayor Herb Atchison has promised to attend but hasn't taken a stand on the recommendations. Marquez says she and other renters advocates spent the past year researching successful affordable housing policies at work in other cities, including the idea of creating an affordable housing trust fund.
To help with rent if somebody can't pay rent for that month, or they need funding to help get an apartment or a house. You know, just little resources like that that will help a family stay in their home.
Marquez notes WOW's efforts are already paying off. After confronting the city council in June, Westminster has added inspectors, recommended increases in rental and food assistance budgets, and prioritized 25% of the new downtown development for affordable housing. Saturday's 2 p.m. event is set to take place at the Advent Lutheran Church. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Station manager Gavin Dahl from Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KDNK in Carbondale spoke to Georgetown Law Institute fellow Gigi Sohn. Sohn has spent three decades fighting for consumer protections, affordable access to high-speed internet, privacy rights, and competition in the marketplace. Here's a portion of that interview.
So you travel the country speaking on technology policy, and you're often quoted in the national news, but your latest piece for TheVerge.com contains some of your strongest advocacy yet since leaving your position inside the government. Millions of Americans have spoken out or filed official comments in opposition to this change in direction at the FCC since President Trump took office and made Ajit Pai the new chairman. Your article is called "It's time for Congress to fire the FCC chairman." Why?
Well, the chairman essentially is either getting rid of policies that promote open, fair, affordable, and democratic networks, or he's putting in place policies that do the same. So that's the thing about Chairman Pai that's quite amazing. He purports to be sort of this free market deregulator, less regulation is better for the economy, it's better for innovation. But in fact, he's not so principled, right? What he is doing is he is acting either in a deregulatory or in a regulatory way to help the country's biggest companies, whether they be internet service providers like Comcast, AT&T and Charter, be they cable operators, be they broadcasters. So he's acting in a way that helps the companies that already have power in our communication system. And that hurts competitors, that hurts innovators, and most of all, most importantly, it hurts consumers.
For the rest of Gavin Dahl's interview with Gigi Sohn, go to kdnk.org. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.